2 Kings chapter 4. That was a great video. And by the way, there could have been way more. In fact, we had more we wanted to get into there. We just didn't have time to get that all together. But sometimes we forget the stories. Sometimes we forget what God has done. Sometimes we forget what God has done in our life. And we get a little uppity, and we get a little, as we talked about last Sunday night, we get a little complacent. I think we just forgot what God can do. And man, that was great. And we could just have hundreds more, and wow, that was really, really good. Thank you for that. 2 Kings chapter 4. And let me say this before we read the verses. Of course, tonight we'll all be in here. There'll be no patch. I encourage you, please, if you don't come, come tonight. We have the fellowship, the little tour of the building and the fellowship, and we're going to do a little history thing of the church. I think you're going to enjoy that and see some of the places we've been and kind of get our story. Our church is a little bit unique. Doesn't mean we're better than anybody else. I think we're great, but it doesn't mean we're better than anybody else. But we have a unique story, and we have a unique. We're not just average. We do things a little different, and so tonight we'll have a great night. Service won't be long. We'll go out to the building together, have some refreshments. But please, I encourage you to be here tonight. If I could do anything to encourage you to be here, I really would encourage you to be here tonight. 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 1 says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And he said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed," which means it stopped. Then she came to told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this morning, Lord. We've heard a very, very good song, and Lord, we've sang about you, and Lord, we've saw a tremendous video to remind us of what you can do in a life. Pray that you just be with us this morning as we look at this story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we've been doing a series on what did Jesus do, but we're going to take a couple weeks off of that because a little bit with the building. This is a very unique story from the Old Testament. A lady comes. Her husband was one of the sons of the prophets, those who were really trained and pushed towards being a prophet, and he died. He was a good man, and he feared the Lord. Well, in those days, a widower, you're very destitute, and so she was in debt. The creditor came. In those days, if you didn't pay your debt, they could take the one who owed them the money and, if need be, the sons into servitude to pay off your debt. And so that's what happens. You think creditors were bad nowadays, you know, because they call you all the time. Not that they call me, but I've heard they call some people. But they're not calling. He's coming to get the sons. And so she goes to Elisha and says, Hey, you know, this is going on. Elisha says, Okay, here's what I want you to do. He goes, What do you got in the house? And he looks around and goes, Okay, only thing she had of any value was one pot of oil. So he says, I'll tell you what you do. Go to your neighbors and borrow an empty vessel, something to pour oil in. He goes, not a few. Get as many as you can. And so she goes and she decides how many. I don't know how many she got. She just, at a certain point, she says, Okay, I got enough. She brings them home, and he says, Okay, now, close the door. Take your pot of oil and pour into the empty ones. And as you're pouring into the empty ones, when one is full, just set it to the side and keep going. So she does. Her and her sons get in the house. They close the door. She gets all the empty ones. She brings her pot of oil. She pours. Magically, not magically, but miraculously, this one's full. She sets it to the side. She pours this. This one's full. And she does it, and she does it, and then she says, Hey, bring me another vessel. He's like, and then he left. And as soon as there was none left, done. The oil she was pouring out of that pot, it was empty. And then she comes to Elijah. He goes, now take all those that you filled and sell them, and you can pay off your creditor, and whatever's left, you can give, you can live off of. It's a great story of a miracle happening to this widow. But as I read the story, I'm left with one thought. As she was sitting there, and they're pouring all these things, and she said, hey, go get me another pot. And it's like, we don't have any more. And then, boom, hers is empty. You know what she's thinking? What would you be thinking? Man, I wish I would have got a lot more pots. Right? I wish I would have, you know. Now, maybe she didn't know what was happening, and she didn't know what was going to happen. She goes, you know, I'll make Elijah happy. I'll go borrow 4 or 5. I don't know how many she got. But I guarantee you this, she wished she would have got more. We call that a missed opportunity. I wonder how many of us miss opportunities in our lifetime. As a Christian, we have a lot of great opportunities. We have an opportunity to live a life that is unbelievable. But I wonder how many Christians miss out on that. I wonder if we're going to get to the end of our life one day and say, man, I wish I'd lived for Jesus a little bit more. We have an opportunity as Christians, because we know the principles of God and because of His Word, to have the kind of marriages that most people would only dream about. But I wonder how many of us have those. I wonder if one day we're going to look back at our marriage and say, man, look at all those missed opportunities. We have an opportunity to have God to be a part of our family. I don't know about you, but I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Fact of the matter is, we didn't even go to church. First time I went to church, I went on my own, 5th grade, and I went because they were giving away something. Second time I went, I was in high school. But we have this opportunity in our family. I wonder if we're going to look back one day and say, you know, I didn't quite get on board with what God had, and I missed that opportunity. I want you to notice 3 things in the story this morning that have to do with this missed opportunity. I want you to notice the plea that she gave. There was a passionate plea. You see, this whole thing resulted from the fact that she had a need. Sometimes we see needs as irritation. Sometimes we see needs as unpleasant things that come into our lives. And by the way, many times they are. But God sees those as an opportunity. An opportunity for God to do something in our life. Look at what was going on in her life. By the way, opportunity doesn't come on a golden platter. See, most of us, we want something good to be handed to us. Some of us are like that in our Christian life. My Christian life's not working for me. You know, God's not doing anything. It's not that God isn't doing anything, because the fact of the matter, if you're saved, God's already done something. You're just not appropriating that in your life, and you're not living your life based on who you are in Christ now. You're still thinking about who you were in the past. But it doesn't come on a golden. Look at, she had a huge loss. She lost her husband, which is very difficult in that time. She also owed a huge debt. Now, we'll stop right there, okay? We're not talking about credit cards today. But she owed a huge debt. Financially, she was strapped. She lost her husband. And what happened? Caused her to have nothing but a tragic future. By the way, as I looked through the things that happened to her, I was reminded of that verse in John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Kill, she lost her husband. There was a death. Steal, to take from someone what they have, so now they're in lack. She owed. And destroy, to ruin their future. By the way, our needs are God's opportunity. But we need to look past ourselves sometime and see the opportunities to help others. We all have needs in here. I understand that. We all do. But we also need to realize that if we know the Lord and things are going a little bit the right direction, there's people out there that have way, way, way more needs than we have. That video was so good, Brother Pichardo. Our lives have been changed by Christ. But you know what God really wants? He wants 2 years from now for us to be able to do another video, and those are all different people, all new people, people we don't even know. I wonder, why are we building the building? Because there's people that need to be reached. There's people that need to be helped. I hope we don't miss our opportunity to help those that are in need. You say, and by the way, we get so callous sometimes because we walk by and we just see the smile on somebody's face. As I mentioned, I've been mentioning lately, you know, we just the selfie generation or actually the Instagram generation where we post the pictures, we're all sitting together smiling. That's just one moment. Life isn't that one moment. I gave the illustration. It's like when we drove up to we would drive the last couple of years on vacation. We got sick of driving through the middle of California because it is ugly. And then the cow things up there that stink. We've been driving up the coast, and we drive up the coast, and you know, there'll be a beautiful spot. And like, you know, hey, let's pull over and take a break. And we all get out. We're running the ocean and all that. We take the selfies and the pictures. Then we get back in the car. You say, oh, but you're having a great, you guys, and our kids will all post it on, they'll post on Instagram, and they'll put the hashtag Myers Vacation, whatever year it is, and so we can see all the pictures. Everybody's, oh, you're having a lot of fun. See, what you don't understand is when you're driving up the one, it's only two lanes, and there are some people that don't know the speed limit. And I get behind those cars, I'm like, sister, the speed limit's not 25 miles an hour, and there's no possible way in the next 20 miles I'm going to be able to pass you. By the way, that's not an Instagram moment. Okay? Driving back from Washington definitely is not an Instagram moment. That's a satanic moment. But we think of the, you see people, it's like, hey, they're happy, they're this, they're that, the other. Hey, what's going on in their life when they're not doing the Instagram? What's happening when they're going home at night and they don't know where, you know, they're having financial difficulties or there's an illness in the family or something's going on. Listen, there's people with needs. Don't look at the exterior. Let's realize what's going on in their lives in the interior. There's needs. I want you to see the prophet's plan. He has the answer. The answer is you're going to collect and borrow some things, and we're going to take care of you. Now, how did he take care of her? Well, it started with what she had. He looked around and says, what do you have in the house? And he had oil. He goes, let's start there. You know, when God wants to do something in our lives for his work, it always starts with what we have. Now, I'll be honest. Not that I haven't been honest when I say that. I'm not saying like I lied the rest of the time. I'm not doing that. But listen, I've been saying that it's going to take God to help us to get that building done. But I don't mean that it's going to take God, so let's not us start with where we're at and what we have. Because if we don't do what we're supposed to do, God has no obligation to step in and do what we can't do. Got to do ours first. It's going to start with our church. It's almost like sometimes, and we haven't had one of these, Brother Pichardo, pray for us. You know, these donors that come in and say, I'll match whatever your church gives, or I'll give $2 for every $1 your church gives. What that person is saying is, I'll give to your organization, but I want to make sure that you're vested in it first. Now, I'm not saying God does that, but I'm saying this, God won't make up what we could have given, what we could have done ourselves. Starts with what? We have. And then it is, what can you get? Hey, go out and borrow. I know you only have the one pot. Go borrow some. Now, I'm not telling you go borrow from people, all right? Hey, you got $1,000? I need some next week. We're not talking about that. But what can we get together? Lord, this is what I can do. And is there anything I can do over and above that? Can I work a little harder? Can I do this? Can I do that? And then it gets to the point where you receive that which you couldn't possibly do on your own. You see, once he started with what she had in her house, and then she went and worked to see what she could do, then God stepped in and says, I'll make sure the oil stays until everything's full. What do you got? So that's the prophet's plan. The plan is for us to do what we can, realizing if needs are going to be met, God starts with us. And then lastly, I want you to see the potential payment there. Then said the man of God, and he then came, then she came and told the man of God, hey, And he says, oh, she says, okay, I poured it. They're full. I got all the oil. I got all that stuff. And he says, okay, now go sell it and get the money and live off the rest. That's where the missed opportunity comes in. That's where I wish I would have got five more. You ever see these people, they invest in some company and they get stock and then it goes crazy and it's like, man, I wish I would have bought more stock. I read a story one time where Amazon employees, in the early days, they took their few employees and they let them buy stock options for a quarter. Quarter. And these employees are working and they could buy what they wanted. They're buying, you know, they didn't have stock yet, but it's optioned that when the stock came out, that would convert into stock for a quarter. I think Amazon opened to like $140 a share for a quarter. I'm not a math major, but 140 times four, that's a lot. That's a lot. I guarantee you there was some Amazon employees saying, I wish I would have bought some more. And here it is, the oil's pouring and she's getting excited. I guarantee you, she's like, whoa, this one's full. Give me another one. That's full. And she's all excited. It's like, wow, bring me another one. And then she heard the words like, sorry, none left. What's that all about? You know what this all about? She didn't get enough. We never want to walk away from our Christian life. We don't want to walk away from anything saying, I wish I missed it. I wish I would not have missed out. Wish I would have. You know what? Most Christians live on a level that's lower than God wants them. We are. We're missing it. We're not churchians. We're Christians. It's about Christ. It's about a relationship with Him. We never want to get to the point, I wonder when, and I think we all will to a certain extent, and I don't think it's going to be a real sad, sad, sad time, but I guarantee when we all get to heaven, we're going to say, I wish I would have done more. I forget who it was. It may have been Spurgeon or one of the others when they were dying at their deathbed. They're like, and someone just did great things for God. And they're like, wish I would have done more. It's like, you? I'll finish with this story. There was a guy, I saw this in a history book. There was an agent in Britain during World War II. And he had some ties into Germany. And so he went to the British council and said, listen, I'm offering myself as a spy. His nickname was Garbo, after the old actress. Because I'm offering myself as a spy. I can give some misinformation with just enough truth that when you really need something, I can feed them a lie. And Britain said, get out of here. They thought he was a nutcase, and they sent him packing. So this guy said, fine, I'll work on my own. So he would read the newspaper and try to figure out what they were going to do next, and he would feed this information to Germany and try to steer them a little bit out of the way with just enough truth. The problem was his guesses were getting really close to the truth. And so they pulled him back in and said, what are you doing? And he told them, they said, so they brought him in. This guy actually had a little bit of Hitler's ear. And so when D-Day was coming, The last thing that the Allied forces wanted was the Panzer Division, their full force on the beaches where they were going to come in. And so they were able to use this man to feed Hitler misinformation, saying, listen, when they're coming on the beaches there, that's a decoy. They're going to come in somewhere else, and you're going to put all your things there. Don't fall for it. And Hitler partly believed him. And he didn't put his full force there on the beaches where they were coming in. And by the time he realized he had been duped, it was too late to get him there. And we were able to get a foothold and kind of turn the tide of the war. The interesting thing is, 40 years later, President Ronald Reagan and some of them were going for the 40th anniversary. And they were there on the graveyard there on, I forget what beach it is, Normandy, Omaha, one of those. They had a graveyard there with all the men who gave their lives. And there was a lot of people that were. And they found this Garbo guy, and they wanted to bring him for this anniversary because of all the work that he did and all the help that he was. And right before they were going to start the ceremony, they found this guy wandering through the graveyards, and he was crying. And one of the men went up there and said, what are you doing here? He goes, you know, all those years I was working in the war, He goes, they were telling me how many lives I was saving. He goes, but seeing all these graves, I wish I would have been able to do more. And by the way, this is a guy that gave greatly. But you know, there's going to be many Christians when we get to the end of our life. You know what we're going to say? Wish I'd have done more. I wish I would have taken this thing seriously. I wish I wouldn't have just played church. I wish I wouldn't have just tipped God. I wish I wouldn't have just kind of did the little, just enough to keep everything from going crazy. Missed opportunity. This lady, I wish I would have collected some more pots. I've seen God do a lot more. Listen, each and every Sunday we have an opportunity. When we're walking outside of these doors and we can be a witness of Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity. Every time the offering plate comes in, when we have our offering next Sunday, that's an opportunity. What we do with our families, what we do in our marriages, that's an opportunity. What we do with our lives, it's an opportunity. And by the way, hers was just oil. She was taken care of. But what we're doing is a lot more important. Don't miss your opportunity. Yeah, but I look at other people and I see what they're, and it seems like it's a, you know, the story hasn't been told. Sometimes we look at somebody and say, yeah, but they say they're a Christian and they do this, and it seems like the story's coming. Just wait. It's not about so-and-so. It's not about what they're doing. It's not about what I'm doing. It's about what God wants to do in you, what God wants to do in me. I don't want to miss our opportunity. We have a great God has given our church a great opportunity. And a church is made up of the people who are part of that church. Let's not miss it. Let's do everything that we possibly can. Let's all pray this morning.